Busy routines can make it hard to focus on your health goals, but MedExpress offers a simple way to explore weight management treatment online. Complete our short eligibility consultation with no need for face-to-face appointments or travel. If eligible, treatment is delivered discreetly, with UK-registered clinicians offering support along the way. Visit medexpress.co.uk/podcast to get started today.
If boys are taught to hide their emotions, how do we expect them to grow into men who can love, lead, and connect? Today, we're talking about a pattern that's been passed down for so many generations and how it's quietly shaping our relationships, our families, and even our culture. Today's conversation is about raising emotionally strong boys, not by toughening them up, but by helping them stay connected to who they really are. Dr. Gloria Vanderhorst is a psychologist with over 50 years of experience helping children, families, and couples understand emotional patterns and help them to build happier relationships. And she's back with us today to talk about raising emotionally healthy boys. It's so good to see you again. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Stacey. I will enjoy this conversation.
So, boys are so often taught to suppress their emotions. And so why are boys taught to suppress their emotions? And it can be direct or indirect.
Often it's direct. If you think about it, right, we have this phrase everyone is familiar with, all right, boys don't cry.
Yeah.
We tell boys directly not to cry, all right? And sometimes we're pretty aggressive about it. Right in the grocery store, a boy wants something, it starts to fuss, right? And you will raise your voice and say, "Stop crying."
Yeah.
Right? With real power and emphasis to it. If it's a little girl, you're not going to be as strong, right? You're going to tell the little girl to stop crying, perhaps, or provide some comfort, or sometimes even placate the little girl, but you're not going to do that to the boy, right? You're going to use power over, and that's just such a repeat theme in relationship with males, regardless of the age. There's this sense that we have to have strength and power over each other as men and boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, often, it is strange to see a man emotional and getting upset in public. Like, we're just not used to that. It's not common. And if I'm being completely honest, it does make me a little uneasy because I was grown up, or I was raised in an era where that was it. The boy and men around me were all strong. They hid their emotions. They didn't show their emotion. They didn't talk about what was bothering them emotionally. So I remember seeing an ex-boyfriend cry, and it made me so uncomfortable. Yet I have this deep desire to want that connection with a man. It feels like it's contradictory.
It is.
Yeah, it's strange.
It's a real puzzle. Right? We do this intentionally. We tell little boys from the time that they can walk that they're not supposed to cry. So we intentionally stifle them. And it was adaptive. I'm not going to say it is adaptive, but it was adaptive for the longest period of time because men were the fighters in this culture. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We sent men into the fields to fight each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be just over a plot of land, right? Or it could be over a principle, or it could be over, you know, one country dominating another country. We have killed off millions of males. And we've lost very valuable people in wars and conflicts. So it was adaptive. I don't think it's adaptive anymore. I think the way that we conduct fights and wars is changing dramatically. If you look at the United States' current war with Iran, it's not boots on the ground, right? It's airplanes, dropping things, and it's big ships sending missiles onto the land. So we push buttons to destroy other people. Now, we don't send a horde of men up the beach. And so I think there's an opportunity for some social change with the male population. And I can see it happening. So when I see some teenagers, male teenagers nowadays, they are much more willing to go into emotional territory. All right. They will talk with their friends or with a female friend about parts of their lives and feeling experiences that when I was growing up, when you were growing up, I mean, that would have been completely taboo. It would have immediately have gotten that boy ostracized and made fun of. But that's not the case anymore. So we are welcoming a broader range of feeling states in our teenage boys, and that's a healthy thing, but we still have a ways to go to really appreciate how much we stifle the emotional development of the men in our culture.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see it change.
And I feel like you said, it's happening. Although, you know, true change and transformation takes time, but I do definitely, if I would predict anything, it'd be in the next 10 years, we're going to see a major shift in all of this stuff. There's like this concept of the new earth starting, and with the new earth is this feminine power. It's this diving into the emotional state. It's figuring out who you actually are as a human being. Anything to do with internal work has to do with discovering your emotions and processing them. But what happens internally for a boy when he learns that certain feelings aren't acceptable? Because a lot of our population is still of this old paradigm.
That's true, right? We still kind of have the idea that little boys, big boys shouldn't cry. You can see that in the preschool, right? Because people tell boys they're not supposed to cry. They just do it blatantly. And then you can see it in the older men. If you go to a funeral, you will see men struggling not to cry.
Yeah, right? Or wearing sunglasses.
Right, like, or they've lost someone sunglasses that they loved deeply. Right? That was a very important part of their lives. But they will just, you know, sit erect and be stoic. And maybe they'll go out to the parking lot and cry, but not in front of other people. And those tears are meant to connect us with other people. They're not meant to isolate us. When we can express feelings, we can move closer to someone else. If you don't express feelings, if you're controlled and kind of icy in nature, then that's a very strong signal that says, you know, keep your distance. Stay away from me. All right? I'm not interested in connecting with you. So even though there's a trend with our teenagers to be more open about their feeling states, I think we still have a ways to go to educate the population that it's normal for men to have access to the full range of feelings. There is one thing that's at least happening in the United States that I really don't like, and that is advertisements are showing men with emotion, but the emotion that they are displaying is stupidity or weakness. It is a one down position that they're putting the male in these advertisements. And that burns me every time that
Interesting.
I
don't know
it.
If I've seen any of those. What are these advertisements for?
Well, one in this area is for a grocery store, right? So, and the scene is that the woman is outside the car and the man is inside the car, afraid to get out of the car to go into a new grocery store. Right?
Weird.
And it turns my stomach. I just can't tolerate it.
That is so interesting. For the men or the boys who were taught that feelings are unacceptable, how does that show up later in life in
well,
terms of relationships and everything? Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it shows up in a very strong way, all right? There are men who don't like what I'm talking about, all right? They believe that men should be strong and that men actually don't have more tender and softer feelings, that isn't masculine at all. So you can find people in the culture that have that approach and that attitude, that men are supposed to be tough and rough and not have access to any soft or tender feelings. And then you can find men who are really interested in developing the full range of emotions that a human being is capable of.
Mm-hmm.
You're capable of this, right? So I go, why would you cut off half of the feeling states that you can experience? What's the purpose of that? Why would you do that intentionally? All right, so I get it. If you're a caveman, you're going to do that intentionally. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're storming Omaha Beach, you're going to do that intentionally. But as I said, I don't think we're in those spaces anymore, and that there's a lot to be learned by having men have a full range of emotion and women have a full range of emotion, because we do stifle the emotional development of women too.
Mm-hmm. Well, a few things there. A few of the men that I grew up with, I'd say about six actually have committed suicide in the past year from the town I grew up in. And when
wow.
I look back at that pattern of who they are totally men who were taught to be strong. And these are
right.
men who didn't show their emotion. They fought in high school. I remember them being fighters, like physical fighting. And
right.
then I remember them being substance abuse users and just very quiet and shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like that is one of the unfortunate things that can happen if our men are suppressed in that way.
Right.
They don't know how to deal and process. And then
right.
holding all of that back is like turmoil. It's like rotting the body. And
yeah, it
then
is.
It causes them to do things like that, which is so sad.
That is tragic. That is really tragic. But I would tell you it is not unusual.
Uh-huh.
If you cannot process emotions, if you can't have a place of safety, or at least with another human being where you can share deeper emotions, you're isolated. And
uh-huh.
you're born connected to another person.
Right? Uh-huh.
We spend our lives seeking connection with others. We do not do well in isolation.
Uh-huh.
Right? We get sick in isolation. We get depressed in isolation. We get anxious in isolation. We do not do well in isolation. We do very well with connection.
Uh-huh.
So I think of the prisoners in Vietnam and how they developed this tapping system in order to communicate with each other, because they were isolated and they were not to have contact with any other human being, right? But they developed this tapping system so that
wow,
they
yeah.
would know that they were connected to someone else. So there's an incredible power in being connected. And
uh-huh.
the men that you're talking about that end up taking their own lives, they've come to the place where they can't find a connection with anyone. They don't see themselves as valuable. And so
yeah.
they end their lives as a result of that. And it's tragic.
Very tragic. I also know that I've been in situations in relationships where the person I was with was not able to connect with me emotionally. And then, therefore, when I was emotional, they would shut down because they wouldn't know what to do. And so instead of showing empathy and, you know, understanding, it would be anger and frustration because they didn't know how to handle it. And so I could see that. And I knew that it wasn't about me being emotional. It was about they were never taught how to handle that. And so they would just, you know, run away from it. It just made them so uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's normal and natural when someone, even if you don't know them, when you're in the presence of another human being who's experiencing sadness, it actually triggers sadness in you, right?
Yeah.
Even if it's just for a few seconds, you go to that same place that the other person is expressing. And if you're a male and you've been told and taught and trained that that's bad, and you're not supposed to do that, when it naturally comes up in your body, you disorient. You feel like, oh, that can't belong to me, right? That can't be real. That can't be an experience I'm having. And so you not only withdraw from the person that you're connected to who's having this feeling state, you withdraw from yourself. And when we do that, right, when we separate from ourselves, when we dissociate and say, that's not me, I'm going to deny that that's me, right, then I undermine my own health and my own emotional being. I deny myself. And when you wipe yourself out, you're in trouble.
Yeah, for sure. Emotional expression is often seen as weakness, especially in boys. But I mean, realistically, for women, it can be hard too to express emotion.
True.
Literally was at a healing event last weekend, and there was a group of women. And there was a point where there was a lot of people expressing emotions, and I felt myself getting emotional, but for some reason I couldn't let it out. And I was a little bit dumbfounded by that because I'm so about healing and expressing, and I teach that. We podcast about it all the time. And I was a little thrown off by why I wasn't able to allow myself to be seen crying. But yeah, there's so many patterns of the way we're brought up too, because if we're brought up by emotionally unavailable parents, even, or men in our, as our fathers, that can affect women, how women grow up to express their emotion as well.
Oh, absolutely. And this personal experience that you're describing in therapy, we would call that insight that you have with the question of why is this hard for me? We'd call that a trailhead, right? That's the top of a path. And there's a very clear opportunity for you to travel down that path and get to the beginning, because that experience, like all experiences, that has a beginning someplace. An experience probably with other females in some situation where it was not permissible for you to cry, or dangerous for you to cry. And something about this particular meeting duplicated a piece of that. So we hold all these experiences in our head, and they can get triggered by something in the present. And that's, curiosity is worth following, right? Just being really curious and going down that path until you can find the root and figure out, that's why I felt uncomfortable in that situation expressing my emotions, when I know that I can cry in other situations.
Right.
So it has a history. It has a very specific history to it.
Right. That makes sense. So when we're talking about true emotional strength, and in when it's related to men and boys, what does that look like?
It's complicated. Because as a culture, we still honor strength in a male, right? You talk to a guy who works in an office with a half a dozen females, right? And he will tell you if anything breaks in the office, they come to him. Why in the world, right, would he know how to fix the copier, right, or what to do with the coffee pot that won't, drip anymore? I mean, we have this expectation
To lift the
that,
heavy water jugs.
right, that's right, that men are strong, men are capable, men are problem solvers. So I don't want anybody to let go of those. But I do want you to broaden your range of expectation that A, women can do those things too. They can lift heavy water bottles and put them upside down into the water fountain. And they can figure out why the coffee isn't dripping anymore. You don't always have to go to the guy in the office to solve every problem, or expect, the guy to pick up all the heavy things. We do that naturally because we've been socialized that way. But it's very important that we look at ourselves and figure out what keeps that going for me. Because I don't have to take that approach and attitude towards this is male work, this is female work. And that has changed dramatically over the last generation, when you look at, the number of male nurses, for example, the number of female doctors. There are dramatic changes in roles that both men and women can take a job and do any job that's out there.
Even my yoga studio, there's like 60% women and 40% men. Whereas 10 years ago, when I first started going, it was mostly women. It was like there was one or two men. Now I'm seeing, like today, for example, there was, like I said, half and half in the class, which was really nice to see.
That's great. And they're keeping themselves healthy besides.
Exactly. So what do boys actually need from parents in order to develop emotional resilience? Like, how do you balance that as a parent, knowing that they could be going to school and being told they need to be tough? Like, how do you start? How do you parent boys?
Well, they need a vocabulary. One of the things that I think is really essential is to educate your children to identify the different feelings that they experience. And with boys, we have a very, very limited vocabulary. All right? Boys can be mad and angry and frustrated. All right? But they can't be sad, they can't be tender, they can't be needy. So expanding the vocabulary that your children use, both male and female, is an ideal place to start. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to get a list of feelings. I post a list of feelings on my website. Anybody can download them and print them out. There are also other places where you can find feeling wheels and other lists of feeling words. But if you have a list of feeling words and you make a copy for the kitchen table and make a copy for the TV room and put one in the bedroom, you'll have easy access to helping your children identify what they're experiencing. Because the neat part about a brain is that your brain knows what you're feeling, and it will provide that word, and that sensation will be connected to that word if you just give it the opportunity. But for vocabulary for boys, we really narrow their feeling vocabulary. They can be mad. They can be irritated, they can be frustrated, right? All of those are in that angry bucket. right? But they can't be tender. They can't even be needy, right? We don't want them having needs either. They're supposed to solve all their problems internally, not externally. So the place to start is expanding the vocabulary of your children and of yourself, right? And that can lead to some very interesting conversations, to some deeper dives into what's the backstory for this, and a deeper understanding of your child. So start by expanding their vocabulary.
Yeah, that's a really great tip. And what about for us women? How can we do better? There's a story there too from this weekend. I was in this healing center and it was mostly women, but there was one man. And this man was an Aboriginal man and he looked rough and tough. And he started our ceremony with a drum ceremony and a pipe ceremony. And he was talking about really emotional things. And I was so fascinated because my immediate instinct was to think that he was like this rough and tough man, yet he was one of the most emotional people I've ever met, and he owned it.
Fabulous.
And so I left thinking like, oh my God, like I don't want to judge anybody anymore, because I literally love how that man was expressing himself.
Right.
But my stigma said to me that he was going to be rough and tough. So how do we
right.
do better as women to help?
Well, just what you've done, really. Think of it, Stacy. Right? You confronted yourself. You were very thoughtful about challenging the idea that you had, and you were curious, right? About how does he get from rough and tumble to this emotional, very mature experience of being
right.
transparent and open about all of his feelings. So what women can do is they can honestly face their own perception about men and their expectation of men, because they do not expect them to be emotional, and they're uncomfortable when their male is emotional. They're very comfortable with the same feeling states with a female friend. So it isn't that you lack the capacity, right? It is that you've gotten the same cultural message that the boys get, is that it's somehow dangerous if the man starts to go into deeper feelings. Is sad or troubled or anxious or worried. We don't want our men experiencing those feelings. And so we back away from them, right? We suddenly have something on the stove that I have to go pay attention to, or an email that I was just in the process of sending and I have to finish it. And so we cut the men off. We communicate in that way that we don't feel safe with a male who is going into a deeper emotional state. And so we have to challenge ourselves that it is all right to cry. And when I say that, I think of a little YouTube clip that I have sent people to, and it's a clip of Rosie Grier, who was a huge football player in his day, and he's on a children's program singing It's All Right to Cry. Right? I mean, this guy is gigantic. He's just really huge and strong, and to see a man singing It's All Right to Cry is glorious, right? Gives permission that you need to seriously look at the way that you experience emotion coming out of a male, because we say we want them to have a broader range. We say we want them to be emotional, but in actuality, it scares us, because we've been socialized the way they were socialized, and that, you know, it's dangerous if men have softer feelings. Well, I got news for you. It's not dangerous.
Right. And I'd be interested to see that same man that I saw last weekend in that healing circle be in a room with all men and see if he would be any different with a group of all men, because it was all women in him. Uh-huh. In my analysis of what was going on, I was like, I wonder if the women are giving him more permission, you know, because of being surrounded by women and there was no other men there.
Mm-hmm. That could very well be. The mm-hmm. situation is definitely going to have influence on what we do with our own feeling states.
Yeah. So what about how important is it for boys to see emotional expression modeled by fathers or male figures?
It's very, very important. All right. And that's why I want to encourage fathers at this point in time to do a deeper dive into their own emotional history and mm-hmm. to give themselves permission to increase their feeling vocabulary, so that they can feel comfortable and safe in expressing a broader range of emotion. Mm-hmm. Historically, right, men went out to work and off to war. Women stayed home. And so the children got very little time of interaction. That's changed quite dramatically. We have more opportunity to have interaction with father. But the other thing that's happened in this culture is that we have programmed our children and kept our children so busy that the times that we spend as an intact family are really small. Uh-huh. Really small. All right. I have families where one is taking this child this direction, the other's taking another this direction and dropping this one off and picking that one up, because they are so programmed into after school activities that there really isn't time for experiencing feelings and processing feelings. So I also want to encourage families to ritualize time together. And it doesn't have to be long, but it does have to be intentional.
As a psychologist who's seen so many things over the years, what do you see as being the most, I guess, the biggest crisis right now out there in terms of our psychological well-being as human beings, even men or women?
The biggest crisis is cell phones and computers.
I was just thinking it, yeah.
That is the biggest crisis. And I have a suspicion, right, that it will lead to less emotional expression for both male and female. Uh-huh. Because people entertain themselves with their cell phones. They distance themselves with their cell phones. They uh-huh. get so preoccupied with that stimulation that they'd rather spend time sitting on the couch with their cell phone than sitting on the couch with their child or their spouse or their friend. Uh-huh. So cell phones and computers are uh-huh. the danger moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all have been in a situation, I've done it, but where you walk into a place like an elevator and you're all of a sudden you have social anxiety and the first thing you do is you take your cell phone out to look busy, right. And you're literally looking at a blank screen.
Right.
Such like an excuse to make yourself look preoccupied. Or you walk in right. a room and everyone's socializing, but you don't have anyone to talk to. So you grab your cell phone it's like a right. comforting thing. But I mean, I'm of the era where I didn't get a cell phone until later in life. I can't imagine having one at 5 years old and how that's impacting the rest of our young people's lives. Like they're learning how to disconnect instead of connect. And that's going to have a huge impact on our society. Like as we
Long
start
term.
Dropping off,
Long term, it will have a very significant impact because people don't know how to connect. First of all, connecting is hard, right? To be perfectly honest, right? Developing a long term intimate relationship with another human being takes work, right? It doesn't come easily. You really have to do some internal work to figure out what's going on with you and what you're feeling and what your needs are. And you have to do external work to communicate, to advocate, all right, to experiment with, well, what will work for me in this relationship? But if I have a relationship with a cell phone or an iPad, all right, with an object, I don't have to do any of that problem solving. Not at all. I can go interior and be content with a relationship with the object and not take the risk of developing relationships with other people. And the other thing that happens with cell phones is that you can find teenagers sitting next to each other, each on a cell phone, typing away like crazy, and they're actually communicating to each other. They're sending messages to each other. And they miss 90% of the value of communication because 90% of the communication is facial expression, body posture, skin tone. That's what tells us about the message that that person is sending to us. But if you're down here and typing away, you miss all of the richness of communication.
For sure. And to take it a step further, with the algorithms that our cell phones use, the algorithms are built to validate our inner state, essentially. So anything that we're searching for, we're going to be searching for to validate what our actions are. So it's our phones are going to be telling us that whatever action we're doing is okay. If you've ever asked ChatGPT a question, it has told you exactly what you would want to hear to make you feel good with whatever situation's going on, even if it's not the right thing for you. And so there's these, it's telling you what you want to hear, even if it's not the right best thing for you.
That's absolutely right, right? And that is going to increase, right? It's going to, the use of ChatGPT is just going to keep growing forever.
Yeah, it's AI is definitely taking over. So what about, what advice do you have for somebody out there who maybe has men in their household and they are emotionally disconnected, but they would like to start building on this and helping them, and maybe they've got young boys at home that are emotionally disconnected and they won't show their emotion. How can you kind of flip the script, or is it too late?
It's not too late, and I would say the place to start is really expanding the feeling vocabulary, because you can be silly and stupid with that too, right? If you have a list of, you know, a couple hundred feelings on the kitchen table, you can be ridiculous with it. And ridiculous is fun, right? Ridiculous gets you connected with the other people at the table. And you can also be serious with it, right? Your child comes home from school and has had a bad day. You can really dig into what's the emotional experience that that child has had. And you get to be a hero or a heroine for that child, because you've received their feeling state, you've provided support, and you've validated them. And that's just incredibly valuable.
Right. So if someone listening out there feels like they've made mistakes, what do you want them to hear?
Well, you can always correct. All right. Yes, we make mistakes. All the time we make mistakes. But it isn't the mistake that you need to focus on. It's the reconnect. What do I do to connect, to repair, to revise what I've done so that I maintain the connection with the other person? So mistakes are not really the thing that keeps us distant. It's our response to it, all right? If we feel ashamed and we don't take action to offer any kind of repair, we're going to create distance. So there's nothing wrong with making a mistake, as long as you're willing to repair.
So thank you so much for being here today and for having such a great conversation about our men and boys out there. Do you have any last minute thoughts today? And also let the audience know where they can find more information about you and what you do.
You can find it on my website, and the website is www.drvanderhorst.com. So it's www.drvanderhorst.com. You can download the feelings sheet. You can watch film of different approaches to therapy. You can connect with the books that I've published. And I definitely encourage you to buy a journal book and begin your own journey of looking inside and understanding yourself. And you can set up time to talk with me. I'd be happy to talk to anybody.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being here. I just think the work that you're doing is so wonderful and so amazing that you're helping our men out there. We need you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Lisa. I appreciate it.
So this conversation isn't just about raising boys. It's about shaping the kind of men, partners, and leaders they become. So if this episode resonated with you and you feel it could benefit somebody else, please share it with them. And we will have Dr. Vanderhorst's information in the show notes for you so you can have access to her emotional chart, her books, her practice, and everything else that she can offer, because she can really truly help us understand what boys really need. So again, we'll have the information in the show notes. And if you are feeling uncomfortable with men and emotion, maybe it's time you thought about why that is. Digging deeper into those whys is how we resolve these things and how we create change in the world. Stay tuned for the next episode. Until next time, take care, everybody.
Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Mark and Jamal's romantic weekend will depart in 4 minutes from Platform 6. Your ride comes with a rolling countryside sunset view and a table seat ideal for playing footsie beneath. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.